Guardian Unlimited.
Hello, welcome to Music Weekly from Guardian Unlimited. I'm Paul McInnes, and on this week's programme, we pore over new releases from the Arctic Monkeys, Sebastian Telle and Duffy. As the end of the year approaches, we'll be asking you for your musical highlights of 2007. Get thinking now. I'm joined as ever by the gothical Rosie Swash. Hello, Rosie.
Hello.
What have you been up to, you gothic you?
I've been interviewing Faris Rotter from The Horrors.
And what's he been saying?
Well, he was being very coy about the producer of his new album.
I can't say. I think we've really found it the right person for the job. So someone who hasn't made his name in music.
Which sounds like he's gone and employed the milkman. But anyway, Rosie gets the good in the end, as ever, and you'll hear that later on. But our studio guest today is one of the two men behind Simian Mobile Disco, and therefore the man behind this.
Biology and Jazz Shaw philosophy when they met at Manchester University in the late 90s. Along with a couple of other students, they formed Simian and made songs with electronic beats. After realising it wasn't the sound they wanted, they split the band and continued the DJing they enjoyed under the name Simian Mobile Disco. Since then, James has ended up producing albums for Mystery Jets, Arctic Monkeys and Klaxons, which won this year's Mercury Music Prize. One of the original Simian records, We Are Your Friends, was also remixed and features in plenty of adverts, promos and DJ set lists. So even if you've not heard of James and Jazz, you'll probably recognise their music.
Okay, you heard, it's the beat by Simian Mobile Disco. Then our new Radio 1 Sunday Surgery style fact boxes, and followed by We Are Your Friends, the Just East remix, which was all over the place for about 3 years running. James Ford joins us in the studio. Hello, James. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Did our facts box meet up to Wikipedia standards of accuracy?
It's a bit scary hearing stuff summed up by a strange voice. Yeah, but it was probably as accurate as Wikipedia, yeah.
Well, now listen, we've got you here at the end. It's the beginning of December. The nights are drawing in. It's the end of what's been a huge 2007 for you. You've released your debut album, Simian Mobile Disco. You've played gigs and festivals. For you, what would be your highlight of the year past?
We really enjoyed Japan. Japan was amazing, Fuji Rock, and we just played over there with Underworld, which was which is incredible as well. And then just, I suppose, just the producing. I've just, like, it's gone really well for me this year, and I've really enjoyed just making records with people that I like, you know.
We have quite a few people come in here and interviewed and say they love Japan. Why is that? Is there a intensity in kind of people's passion for music?
It just sort of lives up to all your sort of Blade Runner fantasies, and the people are lovely and amazing and ridiculously into culture and everything. So yeah, it's just the ideal place to play. You get treated really well, and the gigs are all amazing generally, you know.
You were quite rightly mentioning that the production work has really kind of brought you almost as much attention in your own right as the group has done this year. You've got the DJ, you've got the production, you've got the band. Which is the first priority for you?
I think I'd definitely say production, but that can be with the band or with other bands. I just really like being in the studio and making records.
When you're working so hard, and I was looking at your MySpacer, and it's got either you or Jazz appear to be doing some kind of live show or gig twice a night until the end of February. When you're working that hard, how do you keep it fun? How do you keep it enjoyable for yourselves?
It is tricky, and I think we are on the verge of doing too much of it at the minute, you know. I think, like, the whole sort of SMD thing was a side project and was meant to be just a laugh, and all the tunes were made just for us to play in clubs and because we enjoy DJing. Now we are on the verge of it becoming a little serious, you know, and we're trying to pull it back a bit and not go overboard, because at the end of the day it has to be fun and we have to enjoy what we're doing, otherwise, you know, we don't want to do it anymore, and we'll just stop, you know.
So would that mean a delay on the second album? You've got no
that's the worst bit about touring, is that it's really frustrating to not be able to get in the studio and try little ideas you have when you, you know, when you're sort of pootling around. But yeah, no, we're looking forward to the new year.
I want to ask you about a mixing of genres, musical genres. Is this something that's kind of now pretty mainstream in popular music? Everyone from Girls Aloud to Mark Ronson kind of mixes and matches different styles. But it seems to me that while you started out with Simeon, the band, which was described at one point as electronically enhanced psychedelic folk, you've now, the stuff you record as SMD is like pure electronic dance music. How did that come to pass that you kind of went the opposite direction from...
We've always been sort of into old synths and electronic sort of sounds and textures and stuff, but the dance music thing, we just got really excited about that through DJing and wanted to make music that we could play. So it was literally functional, you know. I think that's how we got into it, you know.
I read a few times, with reference to what you were saying about your appreciation of dance music, what you like about it, that you're quite influenced by Raymond Scott.
Yeah, and it's probably hard to kind of hear that on the record, really. Maybe you'll hear it much more on the second record. But like, me and Jas have always really been bang into sort of early electronic music, you know, from Raymond Scott to, you know, all the Delia Derbyshire sort of BBC Radiophonic Workshop stuff to, you know, all of that kind of thing. We just sort of love the feeling of that, you know, even through to like Tomata and stuff like that, you know, all those kind of weird Library Moog records and things, the kind of weird feeling you get from those records.
So can I interrupt like a dullard here and ask, who is Raymond Scott and what did he do?
He did a lot of stuff for like Cartoon, and like he used to sort of write for big bands and things like that. But he actually invented a lot of really early electronic instruments, like even before Robert Moog, and along with Robert Moog invented a lot of synthesizers and stuff.
So this is a guy like from the 30s or something?
Yeah, the 40s. There's a brilliant thing called Manhattan Research, which like it's just like a lot of advert music that he made, but it's all like done on weird sequences and stuff that he just built. You know, he built all these machines, and yeah, he's a legend really. Mm.
My next question is not related to that at all. It's about Hustler, your most recent single. And you remade the video for it. Why did you remake it when videos were actually quite similar in their concept?
It was weird that. I don't really know, to be honest with you. We've signed to like a label in America, and it sounds really shit, but they wanted a different video than the one that had been around a lot, you know, already. And that's not a really creative reason to do something, but you know, that's honestly the reason it came about. We liked the first video, and I think with all the videos, we don't actually have that much input into them. We just choose people we think are good and then let them sort of run with it, because I think it's a better way to get the best out of somebody, if you know what I mean, as opposed to sticking your ear in all the time. And you know, I don't think the new Hustler video is my personal favorite video of the ones that we've done, but you know.
Well, how do you feel about that if you hand over creative control to someone? Because I wouldn't say...
It's hard. It's really weird, you know. It's I don't know, like, you're never going to like it 100% because you
haven't done
it. But you're happy,
you know, you sort of hand over the reins and you're happy to...
Yeah, but what are you going to do? If you make that decision that you're going to do that, then you've got to stick by it, haven't you, really?
Yes, do.
Until the last minute when you just wade in there and say, no, I'm not having that, and do it all again.
Well, yeah, and that has happened.
I want to ask you about remixes, and I was wondering if you might be able to give me, and this might be difficult for you, one favourite remix that you've done of somebody else's music and your favourite remix that somebody else has done of your music.
Tricky. I quite like, actually, the Peaches remix that we did. Yeah, I think that was one that sort of kind of rivaled the original song, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Downtown was the name of the track, I think. And the favourite remix that's been done of us, I really like the Luke Vibert one of It's the Beat, I think. Yeah. That's one that we actually play in our DJ sets.
You picked your highlight from 2007 earlier, which was Japan. What are you looking forward to for 2008?
I think getting back into the studio, really, just making some new music, because, you know, I feel like we haven't really made much new music with SMD, you know, and, just in general, I just kind of get itchy feet when I haven't made new music for a while, you know.
Can we have any clues to the next album? Is it going to be...
Well, no, but not because I'm keeping it a secret, because it's more because we don't know, you know, we don't know what it's going to be. We sort of made the first record, like I said, sort of on weekends and evenings. This time it's going to be more sitting down and making an album, you know, and maybe we might make a really different type of album. I don't know, you know.
And what about the James Ford production work? I mean, you've been behind one of the biggest selling albums of the year and the Mercury Prize winner. Who are you next going to sprinkle magic dust over?
There's lots of stuff on the card, you know, but I generally don't like to talk about it until it's done, because it always seems a bit putting the cart before the horse, you know. One thing that I have done that I got told off for talking about, but it is really exciting to me, is a project I did with Alex Turner and a guy called Miles from the Rascals, which I'm really proud of. We're going to finish it off over Christmas by doing some orchestral stuff. Yeah, that's hopefully going to come out in April.
Well, thank you very much for that, James. If you hold on for a second, we'll be coming back to you and asking for your musical opinions on things. Still to come on the programme, Rosie speaks to Faris from The Horrors and establishes whether they take themselves too seriously or not.
No, they don't take them seriously. I can't do it.
You can't do it. And you did it so well spontaneously,
Yeah, but
Rosie.
It was spontaneous before.
And we want your musical highlights of 2007. You've already been told to start thinking, so you better still be thinking. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble with Rosie. We'll be asking for your thoughts later in the show. First, though, it's Singles Club. The Dongles, that's downloads and singles that are new, true and ready for you. Here's the first. It's by somebody called Duffy and it's called Rock Ferry. That is Rock Ferry from Duffy. Duffy is a 22-year-old singer-songwriter who grew up on the Lynn Peninsula in North Wales. This song, her debut, is released physically only as a 7-inch, and it was co-written with Bernard Butler from Out of Suede. Duffy refuses to divulge her surname, which makes me speculate that it might be Windsor, or maybe Winehouse, or maybe Huntley. Rosie, what's your thought on Rock Ferry by Duffy?
Mono well, name. When I first heard it, I was a little bit dismissive of it because I found the lyrics to be a bit green, just a bit bland. I didn't think that the material was, lyrical material was particularly rich. But then I found out a little bit more about her, and she is actually from this really obscure part of Wales and was sort of dazzled by the bright lights and has this amazing voice and claims that she didn't grow up listening to... You would expect her to have been a fan of Dusty Springfield or Nancy Sinatra, listening to her voice and the style of her music, but she claims that's not true. So it kind of gives it more of a purity to the music. And I also couldn't get it out of my head after, and that's what's a mark of a well-written tune, I think.
Yeah, I suspect I'm slightly behind you on this curve and that I still don't like her, and it still strikes me as fake and insincere, and I've been inundated with so much PR material relating to her. I just think there's something phony about it, and it's kind of like the Winehouse thing just moved to a slightly different sector of 60s female vocals, but it is already stuck in my head and I've only heard it, you know, 3 or 4 times.
And she has got just a wonderful voice. I think next year's going to be...
Yeah, but is having a wonderful voice enough?
I hadn't heard any of the bumf leading up to it, like you were saying. I just kind of accidentally heard it on the radio, and I actually, it did make me stop and listen to it because I thought it sounded really nice and open, and I think it is quite a slow-burning good song. I'd give it a thumbs up for
now. Yeah, I think that's a triumph for hope over cynicism there,
yes.
2-1. Duffy and Rock Ferry, by the way, is out to buy now, and while you can only buy 7 in single, you can buy download. Next up, Sebastian Tellier and Sexual Sportswear. Sebastian Tellier there and Sexual Sportswear. Sebastian Tellier is French. We wouldn't note that detail if it weren't for the fact that his last two albums, Politics and now Sexuality, are described as explorations of their titular themes, which is all just a little bit Michel Houellebecq for us. This album was inspired by memories of a teenage encounter with a soft porn fleek. And Sebastian's fans include Marc Jacobs and Philip Glass and Guy-Manuel de Homem Christo from Daft Punk, who co-produced this album. James.
He's been around for ages, Sebastian Tellier. He was on our label when we were in Simeon Night ages ago. And I always thought he was really good then. He's a bit maverick and he's a bit over the top, but I think he's really talented. And this is like quite a Italo disco-y sort of influenced thing, which is up my personal alley, so to speak. So yeah, I like it.
I keep on hearing a lot of Italo disco. Is this a sound of now that should be known?
Yeah, I think definitely, like, you know, kind of, you know, cosmic disco and Italian, you know, like, sort of, I suppose Lindstrom is a big sort of I'm not going to go into this trivia, I can't be honest.
That'll do, though. That'll do. People can Google Lindstrom and they'll be off on their own musical odyssey.
But there is a lot of good new Italo-y sounding. It's probably the part of dance music that's exciting me the most at the minute, although it isn't that dancey.
it's for 10 in the morning rather than 3.
Yeah.
Rosie Swash.
What you were saying about him being a maverick, that's one of the things that interests me about him. Like politics, I really like the fact it had this African motif running through it. I'm not really sure that if it wasn't explained to you that the concept of this album was his sort of sexual awakening, that you would really get it.
I'm just trying to wonder which part of his sexual awakening this track is on from. That. Slow, kind of like, yeah, anyway, soggy hands.
That was unnecessary.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. I was just going to chip in with my own critical thing. I really feel, listening to all today's selections today, I feel like a real Luddite. I feel a man of really unsophisticated taste, because that just song just makes me think Jean-Michel Jarre.
But there's nothing wrong with like Vangelis and that bit. I love those big like sort of epic synth things.
But it's all epic sounds with no kind of real centre to it, no core. Anyway, Sexual Sportswear by Sebastian Tellier is also out now. Finally on Singles Club this week, it is Teddy Picker by Arctic Monkeys. Teddy Picker. The Arctic Monkeys are a band from Sheffield who sprung to prominence thanks to an internet website called MySpace. Oh, you know all about them already, don't you? James, like I said, we're not going to ask you for your critical opinion on this. Tell us a little bit about the story behind this song.
I remember it being a sort of an amalgamation of two songs, and then it was one of the later ones we did on the sort of record, and yeah, you know, I think it's a good track.
I think it's the best track on the album. And I'd like to say that Scott, our silent producer, thinks it's one of the best songs of the year.
Ooh.
I think it's just got that really fantastic punchy bass guitar thing that the Arctic Monkeys do so well that they do throughout this album. And it kind of sums up the feel that I got from the album, which is that it's kind of salacious, sinister, more sinister edge to them, you know, establishing themselves in the world of celebrity and how they're dealing with their surroundings. Just a brilliant song.
And I think the other thing is he does it fairly subtly as well. He doesn't go overboard, which I think is just really, really clever. Because it's like, in a way, it's a sort of obvious topic for them to go for. But I think the way he manages to do it, he doesn't go overboard, which I think.
And that's the other thing about this song, is it's an example of what I like about the Arctic Monkeys so much, as you can sit and listen to the lyrics and get really drawn into them. And kind of be like, ah, okay, at the end. Or you can just listen to the quality of the music, or you can dance to it. That's what they do so well with all of their songs.
Yeah, again, I don't really like it. I'm very quick, because you're right, because you know what you're talking about, and I don't, but I like the guitar, and I love Matt Helder's drumming. I always love the drumming. I think it's great. I just find Alex Turner's lyrics too obscure and too wordy and too complex. There's no chorus in there, and there's one hook which goes on for about 30 seconds about the pretentious pretenders and things like that, and it washes over my head.
But I think he's definitely trying to play around with not doing, he definitely went into it and trying not to do, you know, verse chorus
yeah.
You know, and he's trying to play around with song structures, and I think that's kind of interesting.
Yes, it should be applauded. It's just my hands won't let me. Teddy Picker is out now. There's more that's about to drop, though. Here's a few other tracks that are coming your way. Oh, well, I know it's wrong, so what? I suppose what you thought I never, ever said. It's Baby Shambles, New Talk. When I cleaned up my community, from a party for the whole street, hardly Austin for a whole leap. Montage. Kano, Feel Free, also featuring Damon Albarn, although he's not credited. Give me reason, but don't give me choice. It's a woman. No, it's not. It's James Blunt. Same mistake. The same mistake again. That's Peter Gelderblom with Waiting For. He's getting his bid for 2008 Ibiza Anthem in early. There's more next week. And you can get Rosie's Singles Club reviews on the site right now at guardian.co.uk/music. They're live every Tuesday afternoon. Now, there's a bit of an Arctic Monkeys theme running through this week's show. We've spoken to the producer of their last album. We've reviewed their latest single. And so, when Rosie was offered the chance to interview Bruce Springsteen earlier this week, she turned it down because it just wouldn't fit with our theme. And instead, she spoke to one of the support acts on the Monkeys' upcoming tour. Yes, it's the Horrors.
The Horrors describe themselves as psychotic sounds for freaks and weirdos. They've been together as a band for 2 years, but the core of the group actually met at school. The video to their first single was directed by Chris Cunningham, responsible for many of the Aphex Twins' famous promos. Sheena is a Parasite starred Oscar nominee Samantha Morton, famous for starring in Minority Report and Control. It's notable for her wild dancing in the video before she rips open a dress and her intestines fly out. Lead singer Faris is known by the name Faris Rotter from his role as a drummer in a short-lived project band called The Rotters. He is, however, also known for his illustrations, which he's done for magazines and an exhibition which was recently on show in London. You can see the band in episode 6 of the current series of The Mighty Boosh.
Okay, there's a fact file there for you. And a moment ago you heard Sheena is a Parasite from The Horrors. Now, Rosie, how did you find Mr. Faris when you encountered him?
Well, apart from the fact that I don't think he'd quite forgiven me for the time we did the objects interview with The Horrors and I presented him with a banana and asked him to talk about it. He said, have you got a banana for me today? After he forgave me, I found him to be a very nice young man. He's got a real, genuine, eclectic interest in music and it was really interesting to interview him. One of the things that I picked up on was that I'd heard that he was really into his 60s girl groups, which kind of fascinated me, and I wanted to know what it was about that period of music that he loved.
It was my favourite kind of music, 58 to 65 girl group stuff. The production's always really brilliant. It's what each of the Horrors has their own sort of favourite area, and that happens to be mine. Maybe the naivety of the lyrics comes into it.
I just wondered what you felt was the biggest misconception about the Horrors that still persists.
I feel like any misconceptions are so trivial, and I think that to kind of really take them to heart would be sort of taking ourselves too seriously.
But would you think that perhaps one of the misconceptions is that you're a band that takes yourself very seriously?
Really?
I'm asking.
One thing we've never had is no one's ever called us pretentious or anything. Because, I mean, with the live show and stuff, there's always an element of humour there, not in a novelty sense, but, you know, the birthday party, the fall have always been sarcastic and sardonic. The only slight misconception that does bother me is that we're not music fans. You know, some people think that we have our songs written for us, and I just think that...
I don't think that's trivial. That's quite offensive, isn't it?
It's offensive, but, I mean, it doesn't add up, because if we had our songs written for us, then we'd be a lot richer, I think, as well.
Because they'd be in the top 10.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Otherwise, those people would get fired.
What stage are you at with album number 2?
We have nearly 20 songs written, and we're going to work with a producer who's never produced anything before.
What's his or her name?
I can't say.
Okay.
I think we've really found it the right person for the job.
Is it a musician who's never...
No, not a musician either.
Okay.
So someone who's never... who hasn't made his name in music.
Do you think that the idea of you having to play an album in its entirety, in the order it's intended, not on shuffle, those things are kind of lost?
That really bothers me, actually. I mean, you spend a lot of time thinking about how you want to present your collection of songs and what order works best, how they complement each other.
Do you feel that it's theft, or is it purely from an artistic point of view that it bothers you?
You know, the only bands that recoup are like the Arctic Monkeys, Franz Ferdinand. So from a direct financial sense, I guess bands like The Horrors aren't really losing out, but I guess we have more pressure put on us because the sort of amount of debt that we incur is greater.
I was going to ask you about what pressures you feel might be coming for you in 2008 and with the next album. I intended it to be a creative question, because financial pressures is not one that really occurs to me to ask a band about, but is that something that's sort of weighing on your mind?
No, because I think that we're on a major at the moment, or an offshoot of a major, but we could just as happily be on an independent. And there'd always be independents sort of willing to take on a band like us, because it's, you know, I think we are the kind of band that can just continue making music indefinitely, really. We don't have a shelf life. I wonder how long it will be before I'm sick of her, and I no longer care where she goes or I've been. But she's the new thing, but she's the new thing. She is the new thing, but she's the new thing.
Do you like touring?
Touring for like 3 shows at a time is really hard. But if you tour more than that, you can get into a routine. And I like sleeping on a bus, because I sleep better. I think it's the rocking.
Do you like touring with other people? Because the Enemy tour, where you toured with The View and the Fratellis, did you enjoy it? Would you do it again?
The View tour was good, although I can't stand the automatic, you know. For me, I just can't.
Neither can they. Is it their keyboardist?
Well, exactly, that's the thing. Penny is a really great guy, but, you know, he was always quite embarrassed about saying what band he was in. And now he's moved to Boston. I don't know if we'd do it again.
What's been the highlight of 2007 for you personally or for the band?
Playing Mexico.
Why?
Because I didn't expect 100 fans to turn up at the airport.
Really?
As we got off the plane, yeah. I've got a video of it on my phone. It's amazing. Yeah, that and Japan. Japan, I guess, just like the fact we look like cartoon characters.
That was Faris Rotter from The Horrors, and they're in London, Manchester and Aberdeen with The Monkees for a week from December 8th.
It really does sound like we should all go and move to Japan, though, isn't it, if we ever want to have a proper rock and roll experience. OK, if you're off out to see anyone live this week, maybe even in Japan, who knows, a reminder to give us a call, 0207 131 7198. We want to hear who you are seeing live this week, 0207 131 7198. We want your clips from gigs, you know, that bit where you wave your phone around in the air and annoy everyone standing next to you. But we also want your gig reviews, your comments, and your messages regarding anything in the show, and indeed anything music related on our answer phone. It's 0207 131 7198. Leave your details, but don't worry, we won't play out your phone number or anything like that. Also, the usual big thank outs to all the people who've become our friends on Facebook or joined the podcast group this week. It's good to know you're out there, and do use that most modern form of communication to get in touch should you so wish. Go to Facebook, look for Guardian Unlimited Music, and you should be able to find us. Finally, we would like to draw your attention to a new innovation. Yes, the first ever Guardian Unlimited Music Readers Poll, which we hope will fill that place in your hearts where the Smash Hits poll used to be. Or, if you hated Smash Hits, the poll tax used to be. Or, if you hated that, then Pol Pot. This could go on forever, couldn't it? Anyhow, on the site right now is your chance to vote for your album, song and act of the year, and we really hope you'll take part. Just as way of an aid memoir, here's some tracks from artists you might consider nominating. Particular order there was LCD Sound System, MIA, Battles, Arcade Fire and Bjork. Like I say, this poll is up right now and voting goes on until December the 17th, so have a little think and get right in there. A few weeks ago, we promised you James Lavelle. But he is finally, definitely on next week's programme, when we'll be asking him if he can remember the 90s and whether he's just gone a little bit moody. Thanks to Rosie for being my right-hand woman this week.
You're very welcome.
Oh, and thanks to James Ford.
You're welcome.
Oh, they're going to be busy being live with the Claxons and the Chemical Brothers for the next week. Catch them in Liverpool, London, Brighton, Manchester, Birmingham, and so on and so on. And the single Hustler is out now. That's all for this week. We're available for download again next Thursday. Until then, bye!
Guardian Unlimited.